go ahead and just take a few more minutes and let's just bless the name of the Lord for this glorious season that He blessed us with. Hallelujah. You know, if you were a part of the fast season and that's wrapping up today, if you were a part of the devotions, a part of the services, the teachings, the Bible studies on Wednesdays, and you know this was a glorious season. Let's go ahead and bless the name of the Lord. Lift up your voice. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him for His presence with us. Irreplaceable presence. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for His mighty hands. Thank God for the mighty name of Jesus. Thank God for the manifestation of the supernatural. Thank God for the way that has already been paved to the greater future that God has ordained for you. Thank God for the dew of heaven that is raining down upon our lives. Thank God for fresh oil from the Holy Spirit. Thank God. Thank God. Father, we thank You. We thank You. We thank You. We thank You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Lord, we thank You. This year is already blessed for us. And we've entered into it. We've taken it by force. The Bible says from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. They don't beg for it. They don't crawl around on their knees hoping that they get it. No, they go take it by force. And we have, Lord, initiated the process of taking it by force. We have devoted ourselves to You. We have emptied ourselves. We've yielded ourselves. And now, Lord, we're ready. We're ready. We've received from You a fresh, special unction. And we thank You for it. Great wisdom. Hallelujah. Great empowerment. And Lord, we are excited about that which You are about to do. We give You the glory, Lord. We give You the praise. You alone deserve it. Receive it to Yourself, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen and amen. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a mighty God we serve. Amen, amen. Thank you so much for being a part of this service today. If you are with us in person, thank you. If you are online with us, thank you. Hallelujah. God is awesome. We're truly excited about everything that our Father is doing. We're so blessed. Amen and amen. I'm going to have us go and do our confession in a minute, but just to say thank God and thank you to everyone that participated in the fast. First, if you were a part of that fast, whether you are local here in Ohio or you are foreign around the country, in different parts of this country, in different parts of the world, thank you. Thank you for joining us. We're so thankful for the presence of God, the power of God, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we have enjoyed in this season. Amen. And I want to thank God specially for our pastors and our ministers who did an awesome job of leading us in those devotions every day, leading us in those devotions. We are so thankful. We are so thankful. What a glorious, glorious time we have had. I know Pastor Tino has talked a little bit about what we expect to continue to do with the books. Let me add to it. With the devotional, don't stop. You've heard me say this before. Don't stop. As a matter of fact, the last 10 days of the devotional, by design, are the most impactful. They're the most pregnant. They're the most significant. If you follow the trend, you see from day 1 to day 19, We're basically talking about the color of wisdom, the blessing of having wisdom, the glory of having wisdom. From day 20 to day 30, actually digs into the nuts and bolts of how to get it. It's good to know wisdom is available. Amen. But getting it is really, that's the meat of this. So you've heard me say this before. Let me say it again. If you are going through this year, you are going through a season, you need the wisdom of God. You need direction. You need leading. You need to have wisdom for some things that you need to do in your life, in your family. Give yourself 30 days. If you can do 3 days, that would be awesome. But if you can't do 3 days, if you can do 30, that'll be great too. Just go through it. Every scripture, every writing there, and do the devotion. And when you come out after 30 days, God guarantees on the authority of his word, you will have the wisdom you need. You will know exactly what you need to do with the situations. You may not have all the answers. No one ever has all the answers immediately. But you will know the next step. Amen. The next step is really all that matters. Yes. Yes. What is the next step? That's all that matters. Yes. Sometimes knowing that next step is what opens the door. Right? There's traffic jam. As many of you have been in those situations. There's an accident on the freeway. Traffic jam. Police is trying to get there. Everybody's, especially if you are traveling, it's very frustrating. You know, everybody's trying to get out and try to move on. You know, time is of the essence and everything, but everything is just backed up. And suddenly, police shows up and clears that traffic. And everything opens up. And now you can get to your destination. That's what wisdom does. Wisdom is the opening up of backed up traffic.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Things that have been dammed up, things that they seem like they are not moving. They are not moving. They are not going. Wisdom will open up the door. And that first door is all you need. You just need that first car that began the backed up traffic to move. Once that first car moves, everything else opens up. So the Lord will surprise you this year. You will enjoy the supernatural in Jesus' mighty name. Same thing with knowing God intimately. You know, it's a very small book. It's very powerful. The substance of it, the power of it, a lot of it is towards the end. So don't start and not finish the bulk of it. Knowing God more intimately, how to do it. How do you do it? A lot of it is towards the latter sections of it. So make sure you get as much. And like Pastor Tinu said earlier, we do have a few copies left. We don't have a whole lot left. Some of them are being mailed out also from our North Carolina office, and people are requesting them and different things. Praise God. We're so thankful for the blessing of God. I'm really excited. Glory to God. Amen. All right. So, you know, grab some more copies and give them away as gifts, and the Lord will bless you as you do so. Amen. If you are home, please get your communion elements ready. This service, by design, it's the last service of the Daniel fast. So by design, obviously, of course, through the month, I've said a number of things, ministered a few things, powerful things I know that the Lord has given to us. But by design, there are a number of things I'm going to say before our time is up today that are really, they're just things that, and I'm going to have you document these five things I'm going to give you. We won't study it all. You know, we can't even start studying it today. But through the year, you are going to see me come back to it periodically. And we're going to really get into it. In addition to the last 10 days of the devotional, some of them are actually going to become the crux of some of my messages during the year. Amen. But for today, I'm going to say these extremely important things. I want you to document them. Some of you write stuff. Some of you are electronic people. You use devices. Whichever way you document things, I want you to record them. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to give you illumination through the year so that you can go back to it over and over and over again and replenish and refresh yourself and then get revelation from the Lord. And the Lord will see to it in Jesus' name. All right, let's read our 2025 confession, and then let's just spend some time around the Word of God today. 2, 3, go. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. God's shalom is mine. All is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. The peace of God that passes all understanding is my inheritance. When I lie down, I have peace. When I rise up, I have peace. When I go out, I have peace. When I come in, I have peace. I dwell in a stronghold of security and prosperity. Every evil beast is displaced out of my dwelling places. I am not troubled, agitated, disturbed, intimidated, or unsettled. God's shalom is mine, and all is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my jubilee, and I will thrive in 2025. All debts are canceled, and all lack is erased. My destiny will not be aborted. My fruits will not be miscarried. My potential will not be buried. My glory will not be stolen. This is my season of bountiful harvest, exponential promotions, unprecedented growth, and accelerated progress. I am full of the spirit of wisdom. I am in the right place at the right time with the right plans and the right pursuits. I am separated and elevated. I am lifted by the favor of God and carried by his grace. I am led. I am ahead. I am blessed. I am the head. I have rest on every side, and I reap the rewards of faithfulness. Faithful is he who began this work in me, and he will also finish it in grand style. I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God. I walk in God's due order, and this is my due season. I am anointed with fresh oil and replenished with the dew of heaven. There is no lack and no stress, no dryness and no tiredness, no weakness and no sickness. The Ruach of God is breathing on my mind. The same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens my body and my bones. I am sharp as a tack, and my memory is blessed and renewed. I will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills break out with singing before me, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is my season of uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts. By my hands, kingdoms are subdued, mountains are removed, promises are produced, and the enemies are confused. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am valiant in battle, and I overcome by his mantle, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain? And where are you, O great giant? I have the spirit of might. I am a vessel and pillar of valor. There is nothing I cannot do, and there is nothing that can undo me. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Finally, after all the uprisings of the adversary, the victory is won and the miracle is born. Hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings will I trust. I tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon I am treading under my feet. With long life he satisfies me, and he is showing me his salvation. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Then shall the lame person leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Waters will break out in the wilderness, and streams will flow in the desert. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on, if you believe it, shout about it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may go ahead and be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. There will be a major separation this year. So make yourself honorable before God. There will be separation between believers and non-believers. There will be separation between strong, noble believers and weak, average believers. There will be separation between strong ministers and weak ministers. There will be separation between strong churches and weak churches. There will be separation between the church and the world. You are the only one who will determine whether you are honorable or despised before God. Choose to be one of the honorable ones. Get some spiritual depth. Get some grace. Develop hunger and zeal for God. Go all the way with God. I'm going to go back and read just the last couple of things right there, but I want us to read a couple of scriptures first. Thank you, Emma. You're my helper today. Acts 17, from verse 10 to 12. Let's read these scriptures. These are just preliminary. I'm going to give you another set of scriptures before I give you these five things I want you to write down. I was really blessed by our son, Edie. Manuel David was sharing with us earlier this week. There's this thing, you know how devices are becoming so popular now. I mean, it's easy, like for like the Bible, you know, scriptural things and all that. We all use our phones, we use iPads, and you know, and it's awesome. It's convenient. It's really good. But I have felt for years and still believe that There is a strategy of the enemy to get believers away from the written word, from the Bible, from the real Bible, this Bible. If you join us a lot of Wednesdays during our Bible studies, you see, deliberately, sometimes I lift up my Bible. I'm reading from, sometimes I use my iPad for translations, sometimes I use other, but you see, many times I lift up my Bible, because I want you to see my Bible. I felt for years, I really have felt that very strongly, and still, I feel strongly about it today than I ever have. That there's a major strategy of the enemy to get believers away from the Bible. And it's more popular amongst younger people to use devices, phones, and all of us use. I have all those translations on my phone. Many times I use my phone. And you see many times, even on pulpits, pastors, ministers, all of us, sometimes from time to time, it's just easy. We use our phones, we read from there. It's just easy, it's convenient. But, folks, keep your Bible closed. This actual Bible. If you don't have it and your phone is the only Bible you have, get your Bible. Get a Bible. There's nothing wrong with it, but I'm just telling you, there is a strategy of the enemy to get believers away from the Bible. And it's mostly, this strategy is being worked amongst the younger generation. You all know, it's very easy, because our Bible has everything. We make our calls with it, we check the internet with it. Our phones. We do everything with our phones. And so if we have the Bible on, it's just very convenient. But I'm telling you, I remember when we were very young believers way back. This is not my message. I'm just I'm a little distracted. So I'm just sharing this with you. I was distracted by when I said to you, I'm going to need you to write down or, put it on your devices. That's what got me on this tangent now. So somebody pray for me to get back quickly so I don't use all my time. I have some very important things to say to you. But, when we were young believers, the ministers who ministered to us, those who discipled us in Christ. I remember this was in my high school in boarding house. They used to wake us up. I didn't know anything about, what did I know? I gave my life, I was from a Muslim home. Nobody read the Bible in our family. Nobody, we did Muslim things, My parents practiced, but they were these intellectual Muslims, right? They practiced intellectually, but as far as Christianity, nobody church, Bible, nobody. But I gave my life to Christ in high school, in boarding house. And I remember every morning, they would come and wake us up. Every morning, this senior, our senior prefect, our head boy at the time was a Christian. Many of the guys in leadership at that time, they were in, way back then, I don't know what the system is more like, it's different now, but back then it was A-levels, you had, regular, and then you had A-levels. And most of the leaders of the fellowship were in A-levels, lower six, upper six. And, so every morning, 6 o'clock, six, we will put that blanket over our head, they will come back, they will wake up. They would come and pull that blanket. It's time. And we had bunk beds. We all slept in rooms with bunks on bunks and things like that. They would pull up. If you are sleeping on top, they would climb on something and call you and pull you. 6 o'clock, we had to go. And there's a common room. We all got in there. And that's where they taught us the word. That was the beginning of our discipleship. Yeah. That was the very beginning. 6 o'clock every morning in boarding house. But I do remember one of the things they told us, carry your Bible to class. They used to say to us. They helped us get very small Bibles. Gideon Bibles, yes. And he said, carry that Bible to school. Carry it to class. And they used to say to us, make sure you are always with your Bible. And make sure every time people see you, all your old friends, let them always see you with your Bible. I didn't know the power of that thing. I was a really bad unbeliever. But just obeying that instruction, carrying my Bible everywhere and being seen with my... All my old friends left me. Initially I started out by trying to tell them, well, you know, I can't do the same things we used to do in the past. I can't go there anymore. I can't do this. You know, they say, you change. Yeah, come on, you change. You know, but once I started carrying my Bible everywhere, every time they see me, the first thing they see is my Bible. It helped me grow. It helped me get established. It helped me develop a sound foundation. And then for myself, so all those distractions left me. But then for myself, just having that Bible, but it's a designated Bible. It's not in a device. Of course, there were no devices with Bibles back then. But it's a Bible. There were my notebooks. There were my textbooks. There were my... But then there was my Bible. During break time, I wanted to talk to the Lord. I wanted to, you know, I will go get my Bible, open my Bible. I sit at my desk, open my Bible, read that Bible. The things they taught us 6 a.m. that morning, I'll go and read it in that Bible. I'll open it. All my classmates will see me reading the Bible. I was really the only male in the entire year. That year, I think that was 1981-82, that really was a believer in that entire set, that class. So it was very hilarious. But I found out that was really one of the things that separated me. There will be a separation this year.
Amen.
I know and I understand. Many people are satisfied living the American dream. Want a good house, a good car, nice home, nice children, nice, lovely, beautiful, good business, good, great career, awesome. Go to a nice church, good. A good, nice, obedient dog, quiet cat. It's the American dream. For many people, they're satisfied. That's it. That's all they ever dream of. The American dream. My friends, God has bigger for you.
Amen.
Than the American dream. God has bigger for you. A lot of immigrants come to this country. They're satisfied with the American dream. Their highest aspirations. If I can just get the American dream. My friends, God has higher for you.
Amen.
Than the American dream. There is more to your life than being able to buy a nice home, drive nice cars, have a great family, children go to great schools, have a nice pet, good community, have some money in the bank, save for retirement. My friends, God has much more. God's dream for you is bigger than that.
Amen.
If that satisfies you, if you accomplishing the American dream is satisfactory to you, there's so many people who want to come to this country from all over the world so that they can live the American dream. My friends, if your greatest dream is to live the American dream, God has no use for you. God has no use for you. Several years ago, many, many years ago, I was invited to preach in a church in Louisville, Kentucky. It was a weekend series of ministries. And I'll never forget it, of course, as long as I live. But periodically, you know, I go long and forget. Periodically, the Holy Spirit brings back a few things about it to me. The weekend was awesome. It was glorious several years ago. And but on Saturday, they organized a men's health thing. And they brought together a lot of doctors and professionals. And it was a period when a lot of young men were just dropping dead. It was happening a lot around America. It was happening a lot around the world. And they wanted me on my Saturday. Of course, my main ministry was on Sunday. Glory to God. What a weekend. What a powerful outpouring of God's power and glory over that ministry that weekend. But on Saturday, they wanted me to minister to the men on God's covenant and promise of longevity. They wanted me to minister on God's covenant and promise of longevity. And they were all the, and then, you know, they had this professional side to it where doctors and things were teaching on health things that you need to pay attention. Oh my goodness, 12:42. I better get busy here. Pray for me, but this, I'm just following the Holy Spirit here. So the doctors taught and they did everything. And did I finish the ED story? Okay. All right. So ED was telling us this past. Thank you, Holy Spirit. ED was telling us this past week that his pastor, and without any coordination, the pastor of his, one of his closest friends, Jeremiah, who we know very well, who goes to a totally different church. They were all in the Daniel fast. All of them were in this Daniel fast. You know, they, you know, Jeremiah and their church did. His church didn't do, but they joined us. But their pastors, without any coordination, both of their pastors were telling them to pay more attention to the written Bible, to actually transition from just depending solely on their devices and their phones to their Bibles. In fact, Jeremiah's pastor told him, I think he told us, Jeremiah's pastor told him all the notes and things that he had taken on his electronic Bible, he should take time and transfer them, highlight them. These are young men. And Edie was telling us, he's finding out actually, it's almost like a movement. It's almost like there's something amongst a lot of younger people there in their generation where it's like the Lord is stirring this thing and telling them to get back to the Bible. I said, when he told us that, I screamed. I was so excited. I said, you know, I've told you over the years, there is a strategy of the enemy to get believers away from the Bible. I know it. And it's very much with young people. It's not like they have it. It's just convenient. But my friends, get your Bible. Amen. Carry your Bible. Carry that Bible. Older people, younger people. You say your Bible is too big. Get a small one you can carry around. Still have it on your phone. Still have it there. You know, from time to time, pull it out, reference it, do whatever. Yeah, good. But carry your Bible. Amen. At work, let people see you with your Bible. Amen. Let people know you believe in the Bible. Amen. You don't read it just, you turn on the light, you know, you check your phone. You know, as you are reading the scripture, Google highlight, TikTok, things are coming, notification is coming. At the same time, you are reading that Bible. Carry your Bible. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I did that. Now, where was I? Kentucky, Louisville, Tech. We're in for a good time, right? How God is my message yet? Oh, so we're in this Louisville, Kentucky weekend ministry, and I told you, so they did all the doctors and surgeons, specialists, they all did their thing, teaching men what to do, you know, the health, taking care of your blah, blah, blah. And then it was my time to minister, and I was supposed to minister on God's covenant of longevity and God's covenant and promise of longevity, something like that. And the first thing the Holy Spirit had me say to them, the whole place was shook. All the men's eyes, all their eyes widened like this. It's like, I don't think anybody had ever said to them what I said. So my opening statement, And that's what the Holy Spirit said for me to say to them. I said to them, I said, why would God be so invested in keeping you alive when you are not committed to his purpose and his vision? That's my opening statement. I say he won't be. Nobody had ever told them that. They wanted to know about the covenant and promise of longevity. And here I was, this preacher they invited. Hallelujah. And mind you, this was not my main service. My main service was still the following day. And all these people and all the people were supposed to come on that Sunday, this Saturday. And as a preacher, you know, I just said, as a preacher, I said to myself, when after the service, I wonder if these people are going to show up on Sunday. I wonder if I've driven them away. You know, I wonder if they may not show up. I was shocked. The place was packed full. They invited, even those that were there, they invited. There were miracles, amazing visitation from the Lord. But the Lord reminded me of this service. And if living the American dream is your highest dream, God is not invested in fulfilling this word, 2025 promises in your life. Don't count on it. Do not count on it. If living the American dream, living for yourself, is your highest dream, and that's what you are living for, forget this. It's not for you. You know when we go, with long life is satisfied. Why would God be invested in keeping you alive when you are not invested in fulfilling his purpose and vision? Why? What's the gain? I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but there is no gain in it. God is not a fool. God forbid, if you are about to board a plane that is going to crash, why will the Holy Spirit divert you and not have you on that plane? Keep you alive some more years. Why would he, if your commitment is not to him, but to you? What's the use? I did say to you last Sunday, the Daniel fast of 2021 is not to prevent something that is coming. Did you hear that last Sunday? It's not to prevent something that is coming. It is to prepare you so that you and your family are protected in what is coming. Did you hear that last Sunday?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he said it. Go, it's on the table. Why would God be invested? Why would he be invested? You know, you go, with long life, he will satisfy me. Why would God be invested in satisfying you with long life or helping you have peace on every side? When I lie down, I have peace. When I rise up, I have peace. When I go out, I have peace. When I come in, I have peace. I dwell in a stronghold of security and prosperity. Every evil beast is displaced out of my dwelling. I'm not troubled, agitated, disturbed, intimidated, unsaid. God shalom is mine. All is well with me, spirit, soul, and body in Jesus. Why? This is my jubilee. All this. Why would God be invested in this if you are not invested in his purpose and vision? My friend, so there will be a separation. Now, the Lord reminded me, I've not remembered this in a long time. You know, in that Sunday morning service, Pastor Tinu knows this person, he knows this couple. In that Sunday morning service, the pastors of the church. So when we finished the ministry, there was such a powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this service. Oh my goodness. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. And then so many people said they just needed to have me speak with them, counsel with them, minister with them after the service. And the pastor asked if I could give time. I said I would. So they had a lot of people. And they gave me an office, and I sat down in there. And person and person pray, minister, counsel, pray, minister, counsel, pray, minister, counsel, pray. The pastor's wife was the last one. And this is really interesting. It's a denomination. It's one of the biggest denominations in the world. The pastor and his wife are very close to the senior leadership of the denomination, well known around the world. And the pastor's wife was in her 50s, her husband was in his 60s. For years, they tried everything, couldn't have children. And I mean, they did everything. Things unimaginable. And pastor was already so discouraged. So just, he's done. He gave up. Forget it. He will not have conversations about it. He will not talk about it. He will not. But his wife, Pastor Mooney, would not. She would not give up. She was the last person in the line on that Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon now. It was so hilarious because her husband, knowing that this was going to be a very long one, and this God is my witness, said to me, he apologized to me that he is going to leave us. He's going to go home. And when we are close to being done, he's going to ask his wife to send him a message so he can drive and come back and get us exactly what happened. It was so long. We went through everything. When we got through everything, the Holy Spirit began to inspire me. And I started to minister to her. Mind you, the husband made it clear to me, knowing that we were going to talk about this issue, that he was not interested. He was done. In fact, it was some, and she explained to me during the session, it was something that created so much pain in him, Deaconess Barbara. It was something that created so much pain in him. You're going to preach this message with me today. It was something that created so much pain in him that he did not even want to talk about it. And when we were done, it took a while, a couple of hours or however long. Prayed, anointed her. Counseled everything, we're gone. The Holy Spirit, I just did what the Holy Spirit told me to do. It took a few years, but a few years later, I was sitting in my study on a Saturday night, getting ready to go preach on Sunday morning. I got a text, not from Pastor Mooney, but from her husband. He said to me, Pastor, I just want to tell you, God just blessed my wife and I with a set of twins. One boy and one girl. Is it triplets? Is it two boys and one girl then? I don't know. I know they have two sexes. They have two sexes. And not from her. I didn't get this message from her. I'm sure she told him, "You are the one who is going to tell him." You were the one who was not interested. You were the one who did not want to talk about this. You were the one, you were done with it. You were the one who left me and came back to pick me. You are the one who is going to tell him. Yes. Hallelujah! I said hallelujah! There will be a separation. Let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. I don't know why the Lord wanted me to share that. But there will be a separation.
Amen.
Between believers and unbelievers.
Amen.
There will be a separation between strong, noble believers and weak, average believers. There will be a separation between strong ministers and weak ministers. There will be a separation between strong churches and weak churches. There will be a separation between the church and the world. You are the only one who will determine whether you are honorable or despised before God. Choose to be one of the honorable ones.
Amen.
Get some spiritual depth. Get some grace. Develop hunger and zeal for God. Go all the way with God. Here, let's put up. Yes, yeah, she has. Thank you, Emma. Acts 17, verse 10. Look at it right there. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming there went into the synagogue of the Jews. Verse 11 is really where I'm going. These were more honorable. Now, King James uses noble, but I'm sticking with honorable because the same word exactly. There's actually a couple of direct word translations that use the word honorable. These were more honorable than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And they searched the scriptures. How often? Once a week? They searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now, go to the next verse. There here it talks about some honorable men and women. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable men or women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. These were more honored. They were more noble. They were more noble. Look at, put it up in the Amplified, just verse 11 in the Amplified. Put it up. Look at what it says right there in the Amplified. Now, these Jews were better disposed and more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they were entirely ready. And they accepted and welcomed the message with inclination of mind and eagerness. Ah, Lord Jesus. Searching, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Put out for me the prayer of that's the scripture of Jabez. First Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. Quick. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. Look at it. 1 Chronicles. They were more honorable. They were more noble. And there was a separation. there will be a separation between the honorable and the non-honorable. There will be a separation. There will be a separation this year. Supernatural will happen.
Amen.
I said supernatural. Let me say it in my African preacher's voice. Supernatural will happen.
Amen.
I said supernatural will happen.
Amen.
Look at Jabez. Jabez was more honor. I want you to notice that all these honorable scriptures we are reading, it was not God who made them more honorable. The people of Berea, it was not God who made them more honorable. Jabez, it was not God who made him more honorable. He was the one who decided, I will be honorable. I will be honorable. Where searching God, searching for God is concerned. I will be honorable. I will be honorable. I choose to be honorable. I choose. There will be a my friends, there will be a separation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I choose to be honorable. When God is looking for the honorable ones, he will find me. He will find me. He will find me. I'm not here just to be living the American dream. That's not my calling. That's not my calling. I'm not here just to be trying. No. We have something bigger than that. There's a kingdom mandate. There's a kingdom mandate. Even if the devil flipped over himself several times to try to kill you, he can't do it. When you are committed to the mandate of the kingdom of God, he can't do it. There will be a separation. Some of you are going to take the next step. You are going to take the next leap. Now, I've been around long enough. I know how this works. Many people are going to be satisfied with their life the way they are. Fine. God bless you. If you are happy with where you're good. But some people are going to take a next step.
Yes.
Some people are going to say, with God, I want to take the next step. I'm not satisfied with this. I'm taking the next step. And when you say, I'm taking the next step, God will say, you are one of the honorable ones. Come, let's go. Come, let's go. Come, let's go. God made him. He made him separate from his brethren that were not as honorable. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Go to verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that your hand might be with me, that you will keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Why? Because he was one of the honorable ones. There were so many other people praying the prayer of Jabez, but God didn't grant what they asked. Because they were not the honorable. They were not the honorable. Jabez was not the only one who prayed the prayer of Jabez. He was not the only one who said, God, enlarge my coast. He was not the only one who said, God, don't let evil grieve me. Don't let it touch me or my family. He's not the only one who prayed it. But in his generation, it was only recorded against his name. Why? Because he was honorable. Somebody say, I will be one of the honorable ones. Say it again, I will be one of the honorable ones. Say one last time, I will be one of the honorable ones. Put up for me real quick, Isaiah 5:13, real quick. Don't look at your clock. I still have to give you my 5 points. Okay, it's 1 o'clock already, but don't look at your time. It's snowing out there. I can see it's snowing. You can't leave yet. There's no reason. Don't put yourself in harm's way. Stay here. Stay here. Stay here. Receive the word. Receive. Receive. Be honorable. Tell your neighbor, say, be honorable. You see, the week when we had virtual service, all of you were home. Right? We gave you Sunday off. We stayed in church till 2 o'clock. Pastor Muiwa did awesome. Did you see? Oh, amazing. 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 Pastor Tinu did amazing. Did you see that praise and worship? I mean, that praise and worship, I've gone back at least about 4 or 5 times to do it. I mean, after the service, I've just played the thing. Like, and then while he's doing, I'm doing my own prayer. We've never done that before. Ever. And I told both of them after the service, there's a reason the Lord had us do this. Amen. I said, because we're going to do it again in the future. Amen. We've never done it. We always have to have someone sing. We always have to, you know, even way back then, if we call off service, we say, okay, everybody, I have to get, God bless Pastor Emmanuel, he's in Nigeria. You know, but back then, you have to get here. Find a way, get anywhere you want to crawl, get here, because you are going to sing. You are going to run equipment. You know? But, you know, the Lord said, just do psalms. They just do freestyle. When I told Pastor Tim, that's what we're doing. She said, okay, tell me, how are we doing this? I said, let me tell you exactly. I said, exactly how we do it. I said, let me tell you exactly. I had not done it before. I just knew in the spirit. I saw it. Even though we had never done it before. I said, tell all the singers, stay home. Tell all the singers, stay home. We are going to do freestyle psalm praise and worship. We have never done it before. I had never seen it done. But I saw it in my spirit. I said, so she asked me, say, exactly how are we doing this? Like, this is exactly how we're doing it. So I walked out how we're going to do it. And well, she did her part because she was really anointed. I don't think anybody can just do that thing. You have to be anointed. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'm telling you, even as she was doing it, leading us, it started evolving. You know, as she was going, I knew we were supposed to do this. She was leading us. And when we finished, before I came to minister the word, I needed a moment. I thought, what just happened? And it's one of the most powerful sessions of praise and worship. I've gone over it at least 5 times. By myself in private, just to praise and worship God in my quietness without singing. Somebody say, I'll be one of the honorable ones. Look at it. Isaiah 5:13. Look at it real quick. Look at it real quick. Look at it. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Watch this. My people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men and women are famished. And their multitudes are dried up with thirst. That dew of heaven that will lubricate your life this year so that you will not have dryness. There will be no dryness in your life. Amen. Don't tell me about it. There will be no dryness for you this year. Amen. Let everything in your nation dry up. Let everything in your neighborhood dry up. Let everything in your community dry up. There will be no dryness for you this year. That dew of heaven that will replenish your life will come upon you because you are honorable. People will have to ask you, how are you doing this?
Yes.
How are you doing this? How is this happening?
People are going to have to ask you, because it is not natural, and the whole world will see it. Yes. This is not natural.
Amen.
You can't pull this off through natural strategy. No. The world is going to see it.
Amen.
There will be a separation. Somebody say, I'll be honorable.
Say
it, I will be honorable. The evidence will show in my life. The evidence will show in my life. Let me give you these five things real quick. There will be nothing missing. So if you are taking notes, I want you to write it down. I already told you I was so excited about what ED's pastor and Jeremiah's pastor told them. Hallelujah. Write it down somewhere where you can go through it. Through this year, you can go pull up these 5 points, read and meditate, and then study and let the Holy Spirit give you inspiration. I can't teach on it yet, but I will, as the Lord gives me liberty as the year goes along. There will be nothing missing and nothing broken in your life and in your family this year if you will do these five things. Number one, if you will be led by the Holy Spirit and align with the will of God in every area of your life. If you will be led by the Holy Spirit and align with the will of God in every area of your life. You've heard this talked about before, but you hear more about it. There will be nothing missing and nothing broken in your life and family this year. Number two, if you will be whole and in order, spirit, soul, and body, in that order. Let me go over this again. There'll be nothing missing and nothing broken in your life this year if you will be whole and whole as in whole and in order, order, spirit, soul, and body, in that order. This is very powerful. If you be whole and in order, spirit, soul, and body, in that order. It has to be in that order. You can't reverse it. And the Bible says spirit, soul, and body. Emma, put up quick. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Put it up in the Amplified version. Real quick. I think it's 23. Quick. When the Bible says the God of peace will keep you complete, make you whole, spirit, soul, and body, you cannot reverse it. You can't go body, soul, spirit. Your body cannot be the leader. Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your feelings, your thoughts cannot drive the train of your life this year. If you allow your soul, your feelings, your thoughts, your mind, your will, your emotions to drive the train of your life, something will be missing and something will be broken. Look at that scripture up there real quick. I gotta go. And may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through. Separate you from profane things, make you pure and wholly consecrated to God, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved sound and complete and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You can't reverse the order. Every decision you make, every step you take, every action you undertake, every project you get involved in, you can't reverse that order. You can't go body first. You can't go soul first, mind first. No. It has to be spirit, soul, body. You can't make decisions based on how you feel, what you think, what your emotions tell. You can't do it. If you do it, Something will be missing. And something will be broken. A lot will be missing. And a lot will be broken. I'm telling you now. Not ram. That's why I'm having you write it down. It's the word of the Lord. Write it down. So you can revisit it. You were there. You heard it. Whether in person or online. Listen to it again. I'm going to close in a minute. Be whole and in order. Spirit, soul, and body in that order. Number three. There will be nothing missing and nothing broken in your life and in your family this year. If you will, number three, take on this one. We need to delve into it a little bit, you know, over the years, over the course of the next few months, we will. The Lord will tell us when and how. If you will take on the high priestly ministry and anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ and immerse yourself in his covenant with you. There'll be nothing missing and nothing broken in your life and in your family this year if you will. Number three, take on the high priestly ministry and anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ and immerse yourself in his covenant with you. Glory to God. Let's move on. Number four, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken in your life and in your family this year if you will. Number four, take on the anointing and the mantle of the human priest to whom you are connected by God. This one is somewhere out there, all the way out there. We're going to do some teaching on it later in the year. There will be nothing missing and nothing broken in your life and in your family this year. If you will, number four, take on the anointing and the mantle of the human priest to whom you are connected by God. So it's a little somehow. Put up for me. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 15. There are some anointings and some graces and some miracles that will not happen in believers' lives unless they flow through a human vessel. There are some anointings, some graces, some miracles, some breakthroughs that will not happen in believers' lives unless they flow through a human vessel. That oil has to flow from the top of that priest's head to the different parts of his garment and to wherever you are connected in the body of Christ, and that oil has to flow to you there through that human vessel. This one is going to be very, very hard for a lot of people. To be very hard. But you see, that's what I told you. Write it down. So you can start studying it. You can start asking the Holy Spirit to show you. You know, there's a lot of disconnected believers in the body of Christ who are not connected. They are not intricately and intimately connected with any apostolic vision. Everything Jesus is doing on this earth today, everything, building his church, is through an apostolic vision. Everything Jesus is doing in the earth today. You know when he said, on this rock, I will build my church and the gate of hell will not prevail against it. Everything Jesus is doing is through an apostolic vision. There are some graces and some anointings that are intended for you that will not come to you unless you are connected with an apostolic vision. Did you put up that scripture? When the sons of the prophet, look at this. This is just really quick. When the sons of the prophet who were watching at Jericho, when they saw him, they saw Elijah, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on. No, they didn't say the spirit of God. Notice, They didn't say the spiritual. There are some yokes that will not respond to anything outside of the anointing that flows out of a prophetic vessel that God sends into your life. There are some things. See, if you look in the body of Christ today, there are so many people out of joint, out of place. People love to be vagabonds. They love to roam. People love they love the comfort that comes from not being completely plugged in into any apostolic vision. They love that liberty. My friends, it's very unfortunate because there are certain things that God wants to do in your life that will not happen outside of a connection with an apostolic vision. Yes. It will not happen. It won't happen. There's certain things. Look at it. And they saw Elijah and they saw the Spirit. So the Spirit of Elijah rests on Elijah. Spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground to him. Right? Why are they doing this? Because there is something about Elisha, I mean, that represents Elijah. How did this happen? Verse 11. Go back to verse 11. How did it happen? Put up verse 11 quick. And they still went on and talked. That's Elijah and Elisha. And behold, a chariot of fire and horses of fire parted the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Verse 12. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and his horsemen." And he saw him no more. And Elisha took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. Verse 13. He took up also the mantle of Elijah. Notice, he didn't say God's mantle. He said the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Verse 14. Verse 14, quick, let's close out. Let's close this one out here. And he took the mantle that fell from Elijah. He took the mantle that fell from the man. And he struck the waters. And he said, "Where now is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he struck the waters responded to him because he was carrying the mantle of that human. There are some miracles God has. Dryness is not your portion.
Amen.
I said dryness is not your portion. Amen. Dryness, for you to be famished, for you to be dried up, for life around you, for you to be living in a wilderness, in a parched land. No, no, no. This year, waters have to break out for you in the wilderness. This year, the lame has to leap as a deer. The eyes of the blind must be open. The ears of the deaf must be open. This year, supernatural must happen. God will separate you in Jesus. Let's take the last one. There will be nothing missing and nothing broken in your life and in your family this year if you will, number five, finally, be in unity and commit to oneness in your family and in God's family. This is big. This is really big. The picture that I saw is the picture of the Tower of Babel. People are desperately trying hard to build this tower. And suddenly, their language is confused. They can't understand one another. They are still building aggressively. The one that is bringing sand is bringing sand. The one that is bringing mortar is bringing. The one that is bringing. They are still building aggressively, laboring aggressively. But the tower is not built. Their language is confused. They can't, it's nothing. Nothing's happening. It's not happening. It will never be built. It will never be built. And the picture that I saw was Satan introducing different languages into families so that instead of being one, they are divided. Different languages. Some of these languages are generational. Some of these languages are culture. Some of these languages are value-based. But Satan is working hard in families to introduce different languages so that you will not understand one another. And as long as you don't understand one another, there will be something missing and something broken. There will be a lot missing and a lot broken. Stand to your feet. I want you to receive the grace of God on your life this year. We're going to take communion and we're going to receive the seal of God's covenant promise that our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, has made with us. That this year, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. There will be nothing missing and nothing broken. This year, 2025, we are not going in different directions. Okay. One is not going left and the other is going right. We are not going to scatter what we are building. Let's agree. Do we want to build?
Yes.
Or not? If we are going to build, we must build as one.
Yes.
Did you see that last point? Be in unity. Commit to oneness in your family and in God's family. That's the body of Christ. That's the body of Christ. If we are going to build, we are going to build together. We must speak the same language.
Yes. Yes.
I don't want to hear all that noise. I don't want to hear all that noise. Something you heard from. So I don't want to hear it. We must build with the same language.
Yes.
We must see eye to eye. We must talk the same language.
Yes.
We must work together. We don't have to believe everything at the same time. At the moment.
Yes.
But we must walk together.
Amen.
We will believe later. Somebody say you can believe later.
Can
somebody say you can understand later. But right now, I just need you to hold my hand so that we can walk together so that the tower we are building can get up to the sky. So that God can elevate us in destiny and God can establish the promises that he has made concerning our family and concerning our future and concerning our business and concerning our ministry and concerning our children. I just need us to walk together so that there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. In Jesus' mighty name, lift up your hands to heaven. Say this wherever you are, whether you are here in this room or you are online, say this in the name of Jesus. I commit myself completely, absolutely, totally, eternally to my Lord Jesus Christ. I commit myself to the new covenant. I commit myself to being led by the Holy Spirit. I commit myself to being whole within me and in order within me, spirit, soul, and body. I commit myself to the human priest that God has connected me with. I commit myself to unity and oneness in my family and in God's family. And I receive grace to be everything that God has called me to be. I declare by faith that in 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
take a moment to be thankful. Take a moment to be thankful.
Zenima hata yiki ridiba handa radi kusukute yede shite ridika handa. In 2025, there will be a lot of going forth and coming, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of things that will make the ears of men to tingle. Some you can pray against and some you can avert. There will be many you will not be able to avert with prayer because it is a set season for those things. Do not let your heart be troubled. Gather your family, put your arms around them and say, Shalom, peace is ours. Lean upon the blood, saith the Lord, for it's the blood of my covenant, the blood of peace. When you hear the goings on, do not let your heart be troubled. Hold your family. Speak peace. Peace in your household. Peace in your heart. But it will happen. You will see. You will hear. But it shall be well with you, saith the Spirit of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. It shall be well with us. It shall be well with us. We receive that word. Thank you, Father. We'll take it. It is well. It is well with us. Spirit, soul, and body, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father.